The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you're an unbeliever, the Creator has said, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" He's also said, regarding believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted?" Today I'm going to speak about judgment in this life. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you will experience some measure of judgment in this life, although the focus of judgment is on the believers. Just to give you an overview of this session tonight, we're going to look at some examples of judgment in this life. We're going to discuss the fact that some of the things that may look like judgment may be your own doing and not necessarily judgment. We'll talk about the fact that Satan and the satanic realm seek whom they may devour. We'll talk about Yeshua as our advocate. Yeshua, that's Jesus to most of you. Incorrectly, his true name is Yeshua. Why do we need an advocate? And the reason we need an advocate is because there's a court. Satan is the prosecutor in the court. Satan, his forces also stimulate sin and error. We look at the book of Job in the Bible, an example of the operation of the court of heaven. And we'll look at Ahab in the Bible, an example of how the forces of darkness are used to execute sentence after judgment. And then we'll wrap up by asking the question, so what should you do? And I'd like to stress to you, in the context of this whole program on the Almighty seeking a relationship with you, is that a friend seeks Yah's judgment at every possible opportunity. You want to live a clean life, a pure life, and the only way to do that is to get Yah to judge you. Yah being the true name of the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? Name's James Robertson. I have a PhD in civil engineering, 25 years experience as a management consultant in the IT field, currently an executive in a small outsourcing company. I've spent 25 years actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty after he spoke to me very dramatically in 1993. And I'm going to share with you some of my experiences and some of what I've learned in that 25-year period. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organization that I've constituted for delivering my message. It engages in internet publishing by way of email messages. It operates at a couple of websites. It broadcasts this radio program, and we're in the process of completing the work to produce a number of physical books with my teachings in. The mission of End Time Issue Ministries is to prepare people for the end of this age and to lay the foundation for Yeshua, Jesus, to return. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. That's you, the person I'm talking to right now. And this program is about teaching those who want to know some of the elements of achieving this deep personal relationship. For more information, you can go to www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Some questions from last week's program. I spoke about the fact that the Almighty spoke to me after I'd ended an adulterous relationship. Question is, did you not realize it was a bad idea to get involved with another man's wife? Answer is, yes, I did. I strictly did not believe in adultery. I was committed to my wife, but we got to a point where she was withholding sex from me and repeatedly accused me and my secretary of having an adulterous relationship when we had behaved strictly correctly. And eventually I just decided that since I found my secretary attractive, that I'd get into a relationship with her. And it turned out that I fell deeply in love with her. And so, very hard lesson. Don't get involved with another man's wife. If you're thinking about it, I suggest you stop it now. If you are already involved, I suggest you get out sooner rather than later. Next question, more of a comment. You can't help who the heart wants. I think you can. I think it's a case of not putting yourself in situations where you get unrighteous attachments and desires. And if you do find yourself in a situation with somebody of the opposite sex who attracts you, well, do whatever you need to do in order to let it to prevent it getting further. And if that means you've got to change your job or whatever, then so be it. Another comment, could you not just leave the wrong marriages to fix the problem? In other words, why did I not divorce my wife then and marry my mistress? Well, to be honest, looking back, maybe I should have done, but then I wouldn't have got to meet the Almighty the way that I did, and I'm intensely grateful for that. So I'm glad I did what I did, even though it's been difficult. Question, did you turn to God's teaching as a penance for what you thought was wrong? I suppose you could put it that way in a sense. I realized I'd got my life in a mess, and I turned to the Almighty deeply and intensely, as I've described in a few of the previous broadcasts. Another question, how can we stop hardening our hearts? Well, sing the song that I shared with you in the last couple of programs, Soften My Heart, Yah. Pray prayers regularly to ask Father to soften your heart, and just generally seek to get a tender heart towards Him. Where's a place to find these songs? They're on the website. If you hover your mouse over the home button on the menu in the top left-hand corner, you'll find an article called Recommended Worship, and on that article you will find links to all the songs that I played on the last three programs. Question, are all of us worthy of a relationship with God? No, none of us are worthy of a relationship with God or with Yah the Almighty. But He created us to have relationship with Him, and He desires to have relationship with us. And it is entirely possible for any human being on this planet who has not committed the unforgivable sin and been utterly rejected, it is possible for all other people to come to a place of having a detailed relationship and an in-depth relationship and an intimate relationship with the Almighty. So I would encourage you today to start on that journey. Listen to all the back issues of this program. Contact me, visit the websites. Just go for it. Last comment, those are some deep words. Well, I think the words of some of the songs are deep. I'd like to think that some of what I'm teaching is also deep. Thank you. So by way of introduction, I continue to encounter believers who do not understand that there is judgment in this life and that nothing will go wrong in their lives other than through their own foolishness, laziness, negligence, or sin. In this article, I will give you the basis of judgment in this life, and I will give advice on how to avoid such judgment. In the sections that follow, I will build a picture step by step of the courtroom of heaven and how it operates so that you are no longer unsure of how things go wrong in your life and what to do about it. just to repeat my point about foolishness, laziness, negligence, or sin. Some people think I'm negative. Some people think I'm critical. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm an engineer. I deal with facts. If something's gone wrong in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. It's either something you brought on yourself directly through foolish acts, through laziness, through negligence and such like, or it's because there's sin in your life. So if there's something supernatural going wrong in your life, if there's injury, if there's illness, etc., it's almost certainly a result of sin. History is packed with examples of judgment in this life. The historical accounts contained in the book or the Bible are packed with cases of judgment in this life. Things that happen that cause loss, inconvenience, death, etc. Immediately following their rebellion and disobeying the commandment of the Almighty, Adam and Chava, Eve, were banished from the garden, and huge judgment was pronounced over the sons, the children of Adam, that remains in force today. In the time of Noah, huge judgment was pronounced over the earth, and the flood resulted. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire from the sky. Egypt experienced repeated judgments, culminating in the slaughter of the firstborn and the drowning of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Moshe, Moses, was judged for striking the rock and died before entering the Promised Land. There are numerous instances in the Bible. A few more. David was judged for his adultery with Bathsheba. He was deposed by his son, had to flee Jerusalem, had his 10 covenant women servants or concubines raped in the sight of all Jerusalem. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead for lying to the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah. Paul, suffered severe judgments from the time he was taken prisoner in Jerusalem to the time that he got to Rome for his disobedience in going to Jerusalem when Yah told him not to go. There are clear indications of judgment to come at the end of this age on the living and the dead. There are numerous other historical passages that speak of judgment in this life. If you're not aware of judgment in this life, you're ignorant of one of the most important factors that influence your life as a believer, and it is vital that you give deep and prayerful consideration to what follows. I find so many people, pretty much all believers, people who are fervently seeking to serve the Almighty, and things keep going wrong, they're in financial lack, they're ill, they're having constant problems with their car, their house has been burgled more than once, children are rebellious, children killed in motor accidents, any number of things. And once you become sensitized to the reality of judgment in this life and begin to understand that those things can only happen if the forces of darkness, the satanic realm, have a judgment against you, and they can only get that judgment if there's sin in your life. The fact that you are ignorant of the true commandments of the Almighty, the fact that you're ignorant of the true names, etc., does not alter the fact that the forces of darkness will get judgments against you for those sins. The only way to stop that happening is to clean up your life. Yeshua, Jesus, lived a life without sin in order to demonstrate to us that it was possible to live a life without sin. The challenge for each one of us is to live a life without sin. Deal with whatever's causing the problems in your life. Get rid of your sin. Overcome your sin. Walk in victory over your sin. And then these things will stop going wrong. I can't stress this enough. I came across many years ago a woman whose son died in a motor car accident at the age of 21. That woman's brother's son had also died in a motor car accident at the age of 21. There was a bloodline curse. This was in South Africa. The family, the father of these two people had really treated some black people extremely badly. They'd called on the help of a witch doctor who had cursed them, and the curse was that the firstborn would die on their 21st in their 21st year. So sin of the father vested onto the children there and the grandchildren. People don't die in motor car accidents just because. They die in accidents because of sin. So it's important to recognize that things can also go wrong because of your own doing, and those are not necessarily judgment. Your own foolishness can cause things to go wrong in this life without there necessarily being sin. The woman who simply does not do the things that she should do as a covenant woman or wife may experience strife with her covenant man and husband simply because her behavior is not acceptable to him. Likewise, a man can experience strife because he does not treat his covenant woman or wife well. A lazy person will experience things going wrong without necessarily breaking any of the commandments. An argumentative person will experience things going wrong without necessarily breaking any of the commandments. So yes, it is possible if you are frivolous with the way you use your money, you don't save, you don't put away money for emergencies, etc. You shouldn't be surprised if you end up in lack. And that's not judgment, that's just you didn't manage your money properly. If you go and commit adultery, you'll get judged for the adultery, but there will be other consequences, discovering that you're in love with the person you've been committing adultery with, and you have to go your separate ways because you've decided to return to your marriage partners. So there's that latter part is not judgment, it's the consequence of your sin. So I would suggest to you that if something is not working in your life, the first place to look is whether you are being ill-disciplined, not conducting yourself in a constructive and appropriate fashion, and so forth. If you're doing those things, you need to course correct before you expect the thing. If you are doing those things, you need to course correct before you expect the things that are taught in the remainder of this article to work for you. So you've got to work diligently, get yourself a job. If you're a so-called pastor or shepherd or whatever, and you don't have enough income from the proceeds of beating your sheep for money, then you need to get out and go and get a job. I work in a secular job in order to fund the work of my ministry. I don't rely on getting people to give money to me. Sometimes they do give money to me, and that's a great blessing. But the key thing here is for you to get a job and support yourself. And if you're working in a ministry that requires you to support others, well, you need to check out how you do that, because you can't just do your own thing and expect money to come to you, despite what a lot of people in the Christian church seem to believe. Moving on, Satan, or the satanic realm, seeks whom he may devour. In 1 Peter 5:8, it's written in the Bible, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," or Satan, "as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Please take particular notice of the word "may." Satan and his forces cannot touch you without permission from the Almighty, and that permission will only be given if there's sin in your life. So the next time that Satan or his cohorts touch your life and you're wondering why, stop rebuking Satan, go to the mirror, look in the mirror, and ask yourself what you have done to open the door for Satan and the forces of darkness to operate in your life. I say again, Satan and the forces of darkness cannot touch you unless you have sin in your life or in your bloodline. I cited the example just now of the woman whose son died at the age of 21 in a motor car accident. The sin was in the grandfather, brought a curse on the bloodline, and that curse was executed in the third generation. So these things can go. I read a book many years ago that spoke of a situation where a woman who was the firstborn of the 13th generation tried to commit suicide on her 21st birthday. She had been dedicated by a servant of Satan, a witch or a warlock or a general Satanist, to Satan, as the firstborn of the 13th generation. And so demons followed every strain of that bloodline, waiting for the firstborn of the 13th generation. And they then set up an elaborate plan to get that woman and her husband and small child to go visiting an area in the United States where there were deep ravines, prompted the husband to stop the motor car on a bridge over a deep gorge to look at the view. And they got out to look at the view, and suddenly the woman leapt onto the balustrade and was about to throw herself off to certain death. And her husband wrestled her back onto the bridge, took her for deliverance. The deliverance minister tackled the demon responsible, and he confessed that he'd been following this bloodline for 13 generations, waiting for the time to execute this curse. So I say again, Satan and the forces of darkness cannot touch you unless you have sin in your life or in your bloodline. Next point, Yeshua is our advocate. Why? Well, because there is a court, and Yah is the Almighty, is the judge in the court. In the Bible, 1 John 2, verse 1, it is written, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Believers love to quote this verse, but they do not understand its significance. What is an advocate? An advocate is a senior legal representative who speaks on behalf of the defendant in a court case. The advocate knows the law intimately and ensures that the evidence of the defendant is appropriately structured and argued in order to ensure the most favorable outcome in the court. So why does Yeshua need to be our advocate? Because there is a court, and we do get charged. So Satan and his forces constantly patrol the earth looking for sin, and then they bring charges to the court of heaven, and Yeshua represents us as our advocate. The forces of darkness are not obliged to bring charges. They can wait until the sin builds up and then bring charges in order to secure a heavier sentence. Or if the person concerned is serving Satan at a material level, the forces of darkness may choose not to bring charges, as the lack of repercussions for sin may encourage the person concerned to dig themselves deeper and deeper into sin and therefore remain in service of Satan. This is the reason why so many Christians, Jews, and Muslims remain in their huge errors with regard to their particular religious disciplines. In the case of Christianity, worshipping Jesus, using the wrong names, worshipping the Bible, using the cross, keeping Sunday as a Sabbath, etc. By doing these things, they're in service of Satan, and so Satan and his cohorts have no reason to bring charges. They know that the offenders will be judged at the end of the age, or the end of their lives. So Yeshua, as our advocate, can plead for mercy. He has lived in this world, and he knows how difficult it is. And therefore, if you are in ignorance of a young believer, or have asked for grace in an area you are battling with, Yeshua has the right to plead for grace on your behalf, and it may be granted, but it is not guaranteed. If you know better and you shouldn't be doing it, you're not going to get grace. You're going to get charged with the fullness of your crime. If you're a mature believer who should know better, then there is no grace, and you must face the full consequences of your sin. On the other hand, if you've prayed, "Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly," then you have voluntarily requested the withdrawal of grace and should expect the full force of the law of Yah to be applied against you when you sin. Even here, if Yah has given you a particular mission that you are not well equipped for, Yah may still extend grace at his discretion and at Yeshua's request. You may well ask why you would pray for judgment. The simple answer is that the more you are judged in this life, and the more sensitive you are to judgment, and the more willing you are to be course correct when judgment comes, the less severe will be your judgment at the end of your life. The more likely you will be to overcome to the end of your life, the better equipped you will be to sit on a high throne alongside Yeshua as a king and judge in the court of heaven. So there is great reward for actively seeking to be judged in this life. Seeking judgment in this life is a prerequisite for living a life above sin in this life. And in the context of this program, I would say to you that a friend seeks Yah's judgment at every possible opportunity. Addressing specifically Christianity, there's a huge amount of erroneous thinking about the name of Yeshua and what Yeshua accomplished. Yeshua did not die in order to provide you with a way to just run about sinning, be casual with what you believe, be casual with your self-discipline, with your religious discipline. You shouldn't expect grace if you are not seriously seeking to serve the Almighty. If you're part of another religion, you need to realize that the same principles apply. You don't have the offering of Yeshua to help you. You've got to repent through works. But the basic bottom line is that the reason why Islam is such a mess, the reason why Judaism is such a mess, the reason why Christianity is such a mess, is that they do not understand these principles. And therefore, things go wrong and they blame others. So the Christians blame the Jews, the Jews blame the Muslims, the Muslims blame the Christians, and so on and so on and so forth, instead of looking at their own sin and their own error. The next point, the satanic realm are the prosecutors in the court. In Revelation 12, verse 10 in the Bible, reference is made to the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before our mighty one God day and night. Here we see what confirmation of what is written above. Satan and his cohorts are before the throne, the judgment seat. A throne is a judgment seat of Yah, the Almighty, day and night bringing accusations against the brethren. So they are not that concerned about those who are not believers. Why should they be? Those people are Satan's servants. Satan and his cohorts will not bring charges unless Yah forces their hand. They concentrate on the brethren, those who believe, and in fact they concentrate most of their energy on those who are really making an effort to serve Yah. As I've said before, if you have a casual belief, if you are a lukewarm believer, the forces of darkness are pretty much going to leave you alone because you're not a threat to them, and if they put you under pressure, you might actually get closer to the Almighty. So it's not as straight clear-cut as it seems, that you may be living a very comfortable life. You may think, well, everything's right with me, and meanwhile you've got such massive error that the forces of darkness laugh at you and don't consider you to be a risk. If you're lukewarm and not praying much, not doing much to serve the Almighty, and not constituting a real threat to Satan and his forces, he will leave you alone a lot of the time. Can't stress this enough. If you really put your head down and get stuck into getting close to Father, you will find in the first years that it is difficult, it is challenging. You will almost certainly suffer loss. The more you realize these principles, the more you pray for judgment, the more you recognize judgment when it comes, the more you course correct, the quicker you will get out of that space and the quicker you will come to a place where you have abundance and you are serving Father effectively. To the extent that there are bloodline curses and similar factors at play, the forces of darkness may attack you at some level, but their preferred mode of operation is to leave you alone in your sin if you're a lukewarm believer. If, on the other hand, they see that you are a threat to them, they will focus all the attention necessary to try and keep you from having the time and energy to serve Yah. So if you're listening to this and questioning the validity of what is written here, then check out your standing with Yah, the Almighty Creator. Unless you've repeatedly prayed prayers like, Father, I give you my life to do with as you will, or Father, I desire to be found a good and faithful servant on the day of judgment, or something else along these lines, and if you're not making an effort to grow closer to Yah and to serve him, then Satan and his forces will likely leave you alone. But if you have made a serious commitment and are really serving Yah or seeking to serve him materially, then expect that there is a whole army of demons and fallen messengers, in other words, angels, watching your every word and deed and looking for every situation that will give them a right to destroy you or attack you or damage you in any way they can. If you fall into this category, it's vital that you understand what is written here. If things are going wrong and you're a committed believer, please recognize it can only happen if there is serious sin in your life. Recognize also Satan and his forces also stimulate sin and error. Notwithstanding what I've said above, Satan and his cohorts will seek to lead all people into sin and error. That is part of their mandate with Satan as Mighty One, God of this world, and they do not need the consent of the court of heaven to do this. So they will bring temptation, get people to curse you, assign demons to find a basis in which they can attach themselves to you, bring people and material to you that will bring you into wrong teaching or wrong doctrine, be that inaccurate Bible translations, one end of the spectrum, be it pornography at the other end of the spectrum, and anything in between. They will seek to lead you astray. It's up to you to be praying the prayers and doing the work, not to follow in those directions. These attempts will only take effect if you submit to them and do not discern correctly that these things are sin or error, etc. It is so that a curse without a cause cannot alight. In other words, no matter how much Satanists, witch doctors, etc. curse you, those curses will only have effect if you open the door for them to attach to you and operate against you. So the forces of darkness can curse you, but they need the consent of the court of heaven for those curses to operate. In 2010, I discovered through a number of your spokespersons, in other words, prophets, that there were something like 193 death curses against me. But they were not touching me because I did not have sin in my life deserving of a death sentence. Had I committed any sin deserving of a death sentence, then all 193 of those curses would immediately have kicked in and I would likely have been killed very quickly, whether in a motor car accident or through a deadly disease or whatever, unless I had rapidly repented and turned from my sin and returned to Yah. So not only were there 193 death curses, there were thousands of demons associated with those death curses. I'd been on an assignment for Father. I'd made some mistakes in what I'd been praying. And the result was I had picked up this huge number of curses operating against me that were unable to touch me because there's a principle that a curse without cause cannot alight. If you have had close shaves with death, you need to look at what sin there is in your life that is opening the way for the forces of darkness to gain the right to take your life. You can claim the promises of Yah, and at some level these will offset the consequences of your sin, but it will be a constant battle for Yah to save your life when at the same time he is forced to give judgments against you. Really, really important to understand these principles. Look at your life. If things have gone wrong earlier in your life and you haven't dealt with them, if there have been motor car accidents, serious illness, whatever, please look for sin in your life. And you're not going to find it most of the time because there's so much error in the world today that we don't know what sin is. So you can think you're living a righteous life, and in actual fact, your life is full of sin. There's an army of demons watching over you, looking for any opportunity to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. And it's just a mess. So if you've been believing for abundance, for financial provision, and it's not coming, then check it out. There's sin in your life. There has to be. It can't just be that you do all the right things to bring money into your business and there's no money and opportunities keep disappearing or keep getting delayed or never decisions are never taken. People are enthusiastic, but there's just never enough money. There's sin in your life. There's no other excuse. There's no other explanation. There's no other justification. Just deal with your sin. Get on your knees. Get on your face on a hard floor. Cry out to Father, pray, fast, do what you have to do to get rid of your sin. Otherwise, it's going to drag you down and destroy you. So let's have a look at the book of Job in the Bible as an example of the operation of the court of heaven. Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 13, we see a clear description of the operation of the court of heaven. Now there was a day when the sons of the Almighty came to present themselves before Yah, the eternally self-existing, or the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered Yah, the eternally self-existing, and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." There you see, roams the earth as this roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth Yah and escheweth evil?" And there you see that Father is actually pointing Satan at Job. Then Satan answered Yah, the eternally self-existing, and said, "Doth Job fear the Almighty for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on his every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy hand and in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of Yah, the eternally self-existing. And so we see in the court of heaven, where Satan has been roaming the earth, we see a dialogue takes place between Satan and Yah, Yah the judge, regarding what Satan has found, and specifically relating to Job. We see that Satan is of the view that Job is protected by Yah in every way, such that Satan cannot touch him. But we see that Yah actually tells Satan that all that Job has is in your power, but Satan is not permitted to touch Job's person. It is widely believed that Job is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, passages in the collection of writings known as the Bible. And with this information, together with a description of what happens in the court, we deduce that the situation took place early on, when sin was not widespread in the earth and when Satan did not fully know his legal rights. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, we see the basis of the judgment against Job. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Here we see that by his own admission, Job was walking in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in Satan and the forces of darkness, and its distrust of Yah, its unbelief, and its offensive to Yah. Accordingly, Job, through his fear, gave Satan a legal right to touch all the things he feared losing. Later in Job chapter 2, we see that Satan is also permitted to touch Job's person but not kill him. And in Job chapter 29, we see that Job was also walking in pride. And so, since pride is also sin because it exalts oneself against the knowledge of Yah, Satan was also permitted to humiliate Job. If you do not understand this about the story of Job, you can draw seriously wrong conclusions. The fundamental lesson is that no matter how righteous you are, no matter how much you are in right standing with Yah, any sin in your life will grant Satan the legal right to cause you loss, suffering, illness, disease, etc. Another biblical example, Ahab, an example of how the forces of darkness are used to execute sentence. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 to 24, and 2 Chronicles 18, we see another example of the court of heaven in operation. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of Yah," this is the prophet, "the eternally self-existing. I saw Yah, the eternally self-existing," in other words, the Lord, "sitting on his throne, the judgment seat, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Lord, said, 'Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' One said in this manner, another said in that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Yah, the eternally self-existing, and said, 'I will persuade him.' And Yah, the eternally self-existing, said unto him, 'Wherewith?' And he said, 'I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so.' Now, therefore, behold, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, hath spoken evil concerning thee. So here we see a situation in which Ahab, who has sinned mightily against Yah and Yah's servants, and has seemingly escaped Yah's justice, crosses the line and Yah decides to kill him. Ahab's an unbeliever, by the way. Yah puts the judgment to the court of heaven and asks for volunteers to execute the death sentence. A demon comes forward and offers to be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets, and Yah gives his blessing to the course of action proposed by the demon. We read the before and after this passage how the demon was able to carry out the sentence and how Ahab died a long and lingering death after having been shot by an arrow fired at random that penetrated between the joints in his armor, thereby giving effect to a prophetic statement of his death given by the spokesman of Yah, the prophet Eliyahu or Elijah. Really important to see here that the demonic and satanic realm, the demons and the fallen messengers or angels, work with Satan, work with the leaders of the satanic realm to execute judgments. They even are mandated by the Almighty to execute judgments. So if you are doing something that the Almighty is really not impressed with, the Almighty may initiate judgment on you himself. He may not wait for Satan. Satan may not even be aware of it. You may be thinking things, and Yah may bring judgment upon you. It's really important to understand that there are billions of demons out there, and they are focusing a huge amount of their attention. There are about 100 billion demons. That's 100 billion people who have died as unbelievers since the creation of Adam 6,000 plus years ago. There's a huge number of demons who are out to get you if you're a believer. So you better clean up your act. You better clean up your life. You need to deal with it. Pray, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. Look out for sin in your life. Look out for judgment. When there is judgment, get on your knees immediately. Deal with it. So what should you do? It is vital to understand that when things go wrong in your life, no matter what, you and only you are ultimately responsible for what happens. You can either ignore the judgment, or you can use language that imputes power to Satan and his cohorts, or you can have a pity party or whatever, or you can take responsibility for what has happened, get on your knees before Yah and ask him what you have done that has opened the door to that judgment. Fast if you have to. In the middle of 2010, I tripped and fell in front of about 50 people while walking through a conference venue. I was carrying a computer, a video camera, and a tripod slung over my shoulder, and I could do nothing to stop the fall. I landed full length on my chest and was seriously wounded and bruised in various places. I struggled to walk for several days because of the pain in my hip. My cell phone screen was shattered. I was humiliated in front of a large group of people who were going to hear me speak a short while later. I could have blamed the person who was responsible for the stand that I tripped over. Instead, I took it as a judgment, and when I got home, I got on my knees and asked Yah why this had happened. He told me I was allowing pride to creep into my heart, and it was affecting my behavior. I repented and course-corrected. What will you choose to do? I cannot stress enough, the minute something goes wrong, get serious about finding out why. Get on your knees. If you can't hear Father all that clearly, ask him to speak to you through others. Ask him to speak to you through books. Ask him to speak to you through newspapers. Ask him to send people across your path. Ask him to speak to you through YouTube, through emails, through websites. Ask him to show you in whatever way you're able to understand what it is you're doing that's causing the judgment to come on you. You can find out. You can deal with it. It's totally possible. Father wants you to deal with. He wants to help you. So will you seek and welcome Yah's judgments as always just and fair and merciful? Or will you continue in your own strength to avoid Yah's judgments and to moan and complain and give Satan glory when you sin? If you choose to become sensitive to judgment in your life, then the first thing you should do whenever anything goes wrong is to get on your knees before Yah to seek instruction as to your sin and what correction is necessary. Repent, ask for and for receive forgiveness in the name of Yeshua, course correct, and continue. Course correction may require that you apologize to people you have wronged, return with interest and penalties things you have stolen, come clean with people you've lied to, cut off adulterous relationships, change your language, etc., etc. Note that judgments tend to correlate with your sin. So if you've stolen from someone, then it's likely that the judgment will relate to someone stealing from you. Many years ago, when I had recently made an intense commitment to serve Yah, he showed me through a dream that a former employee was going to steal from me, and then told me that he could not protect me because I had stolen goods in my possession. He required me to take some items I had removed from the university where I was a student and return them openly to the university and confess that I had stolen them before Yah was able to protect me against my disaffected former employee. So to recap about judgment in this life, we've looked at some examples of judgment in this life. We've made the point that things going wrong may be your own doing and not necessarily judgment. We've noted that Satan seeks whom he may devour. We've noted that Yeshua is our advocate and we need an advocate because there is a court. Yah is the judge. We've noted that Satan is the prosecutor in the court. We've noted that Satan and his forces also stimulate sin and error. We've looked at the example of Job as an example of the operation of the court of heaven. And we've looked at Ahab, another example of how the forces of darkness are used to execute sentence. And we've asked the question, what should you do? I say again, a friend seeks Yah's judgment at every possible opportunity. So I want to draw your attention to four key documents. On the website, if you hover your mouse over the home button in the top left-hand corner, there's an article called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You that introduces the whole principle of Father wanting to have a relationship with you. The second is an article called Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, all sorts of things that you can do to draw closer. The next one, the Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. If you don't know his name and how it occurs throughout the Bible, you're at a disadvantage. And then where will you spend eternity? What's required in order to qualify to sit on the high throne for eternity? This is all at www.endtimeissueministries.org, www.endtimeissueministries.org, endtimeissueministries. Books of teachings and mailing list are available. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org, as above. Visit the website and click on the judgment tab for more information about judgment. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them in the next broadcast. Please email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to join the mailing list. I'm compiling a collection of my writings as printed books and also as e-books, PDFs. Please email me if you would like to obtain copies. The first volume, which will hopefully be printed shortly, contains what I regard as my most important writings, including those that I've just listed and a few others. And I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. It's really important to understand that you can become a friend. It doesn't matter what your level of education is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter where you live on the earth. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to. None of these things matter. The only thing that matters is that you take a high quality decision to say, I desire, Father, to become your friend. And then do what you find to do. The ebook article on 7 steps in drawing close to the Almighty. Download it, read it, do the processes that are described there, pray the prayers that are described there, fast and pray, apply that day in, day out, week in, week out. And I can virtually guarantee you that in about 2 years, you will get to a place where you'd have a deep personal relationship with Father, and then you grow that for the rest of your life. Thank you once again. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just be